Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
How's it going? Joe Beamer with you on Hump Day, Wednesday. We got a lot to get to today. We're going to dip into some politics. We're going to dip into some lifestyle. Whoa. And there's some other stuff I want to get to as well. 803-0930, star 930. That's the number for you to chime in and contribute to the show. You can also text in on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Same number, 803-0930. So I usually get to work around 10:30. You know, I put my stuff down, stretch out a little bit, do a walk around the building, and then I get to work. But if you've done radio or, you know, had to put something like this together, you know that you never stop planning a show, right? People ask, you know, Joe, how much time do you put into to planning a show, putting a show together? Well, I know for me, and I'm pretty sure I speak for Tom and David as well. It never stops. Like everything I do, it's like Jerry. That could be, that's a show. No, I'm sorry, it's George. That's a show. That's every day. Like I never stop thinking, oh, this could be a show. This could be a show. I have a notepad in my phone. I'm not like Columbo. I don't have one in my pocket. I have a notepad on my phone. And every time I see something, I mark down, this would be a good show topic. And that is like four pages now. And that's just the stuff I haven't used yet. Anyway, but when I come in here, I brainstorm. I, you know, see what's going on the socials. I want to see what the kids are talking about. And as soon as I started planning a show today, Senator Elizabeth Warren, as if she was sitting, I don't know, is she in D.C.? Is she in Massachusetts? Wherever she is. It's as though she was sitting there going, Joe Beamer in Buffalo needs a topic to kick the show off. I'm going to give him this gift. And here it is. So the video starts. It's Billie Eilish. If you don't know who Billie Eilish is, she's a musician. She does music. I think all her songs kind of sound the same, but she's very popular. I'm obviously in the minority opinion. She's the voice you're going to hear first. And then Elizabeth Warren is going to answer her question. And then you're going to hear my thoughts, and I'd love to hear yours as well. But this is Billie Eilish asking a question and Elizabeth Warren answering the question.
Love you all, but there's a few people in here that have a lot more money than me. And if you're a billionaire, why are you a billionaire?
Ooh, right question. So I'll tell you one thing. There is nobody in this country who got rich on their own. Nobody. Here's how I see it. If you had a good idea, you worked hard, you made it big, good for you. But I want to be clear. You moved your goods to market on roads that all of us paid for. You hired workers that all of us paid to educate. You were safe in your office building or your factory because of police forces and firefighters all of us paid for. So yeah. You started a company that's done terrific. God bless. Keep a big hunk of it. But you also have to chip in so that the next kid gets a chance to succeed just like you did. And I'm not asking for much. All I'm saying is that it's not fair for a Boston Public School teacher to pay a higher tax rate than Jeff Bezos. So here's my idea. Instead of giving the top 1% of Americans a big fat tax handout, we should make sure those people pay their fair share and then invest that money into lowering costs for working families. That's what this fight is all about.
But you're not asking for a little bit, right? You're not, because the tax rate that we all pay, it's a rate, and it's based on what you make. And me and Tanner, the billionaires here. No, but those Americans who are billionaires, millionaires, they pay more taxes than I do based on the tax rate. They also put a lot more money into the economy than I do. They pay employees. They most likely have, you know, a house. Maybe they own their office building. They're paying more in property taxes. They are paying more. You're asking for more than half of what they've made. And this is my biggest problem with the mindset like Elizabeth Warren has. And she's repeating something that Barack Obama said about 15 years ago, right? You didn't build that, remember? She's repeating this line from Democrats. And again, guys, I'm all for compromise. I'm all for seeing things both ways. And I'd love 803-0930, starting at 30. I know there's Democrats who listen. You know how I know there's Democrats who listen? Because on Sunday, when I was interviewing the county executive, he referenced the way I was asking a particular question. So obviously, he's listening. And that's good to know. I think everyone should be listening. I think everyone should be listening to David, me, Tom, Brian and Susan, Puckett, Will Kane, Jimmy Fallon, Coast to Coast. I'm a company man. I think you guys should be listening all the time. But this mindset, where is the incentive to do anything? If repeatedly we have people like Elizabeth Warren, and I know it's not her fault, but listening to Elizabeth Warren talk is like nails on a chalkboard. I just don't know what more you want. You want billionaires to give up so much money that they're not billionaires. That's your answer to the question. Billie Eilish is trying to shame people into being that are billionaires. Now, Billie Eilish, I'm sure at this point is a millionaire, right? Now, she's made that money. She's done tours, right? She has a talent. She's getting paid for that talent. She's entertaining. Does Billie Eilish think that she should be giving more money? I'm sure if Billie Eilish wanted to pay more money, if she wanted to pay her fair share, she could. I don't think the IRS is going to bring the money back to you. You want to give more money, if you believe, Elizabeth Warren, you want to give more money. Because here's another question, and I've got to give Chrissy Casilio credit for putting this question on social media. Elizabeth Warren, how did you become a millionaire? You make a senator's salary. Where did you get your money? Because I'm going to tell you, Jeff Bezos did more to make his money, put more of his self out there to make money than you did to make your millions. Okay? Do we want to get in that conversation? Probably not. But Jeff Bezos is always the one that's picked on, right? And hey, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm the biggest Jeff Bezos fan. You know, I'm not a member of the Jeff Bezos fan club. Well, I am a Prime member, so I guess I am. But, I mean, this is a guy who sacrificed everything for a book company. And he struck gold. He struck gold. Amazon is where you look when you need a good deal on almost anything. And he's branched out, right? He bought the Washington Post. I know liberals don't like that because they think that he's trying to make them less liberal. Amazon owns Whole Foods, which Tanner loves to use, right? Like, he does the Blue, or is it Blue Origin? Is that the name of his rocket company? Like, he's sacrificed what he had. A lot of people who became millionaires and billionaires, a lot of them started with nothing. And they took every little bit of nothing on a chance. Right? They took every little bit of nothing on a chance. Some people, they didn't have a house to go home to because they sold that to start their business. They're sleeping on the floor of their office because it's something they believed in. And now Elizabeth Warren, and this is the mindset of many Democrats, think, well, great work, but you don't deserve to keep that money. You don't deserve to keep that money for the sacrifices you took. You don't get to keep that money for all the people that you keep employed. We want to tax you more. And then when you tax them more, and next thing you know, oh my gosh, they laid off, you know, part of their workforce. Yeah, that's because Elizabeth Warren wanted more money for government handouts, because at the end of the day, people like Elizabeth Warren want more people dependent on the government. That's why she wants the money. That's why she doesn't want billionaires. She doesn't want millionaires unless they're her. I just don't know what the incentive would be if Democrats had their way and we just, and you know, it was a penalty to be a billionaire. And you got shamed the way that the American Democrat shames people like Bezos and Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. I mean, because they have money, because they had an idea, they made an investment. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg was a college student. He changed the internet, some would say for worse. But he changed the internet. And he's had a good business sense since then. You know, my advice is, hey, you want to be like Jeff Bezos? You want to, you know, build an empire like that? You got to work your butt off. And guess what? More people will fail than succeed at doing that. But I believe it's worth the risk if you have the idea like Jeff Bezos had. Elizabeth Warren, though, again, if this is the mindset, if this is how things were, and you were punished for being rich, I would argue that less people would actually sacrifice it all on an idea, on a product, on a company that they have. And, I mean, that's the mindset of, you know, Bernie. Even though Bernie wants his three lake homes, why should you have three lake homes? You know, AOC, Mamdani, who is, you know, comes from a ridiculously rich family. He would not be mayor right now if it wasn't for his rich family. I mean, let's just be honest. The guy's rich. And now he wants to run the city against rich people. I've never understood this. Rich people pay a lot more in taxes. You know, they pay based on what they have. And, you know, we had Dan a few weeks ago talking about wanting to have the inheritance tax and all this. I mean, tax. Where does it stop? Again, you want all these programs. When do you finally say, you know what? Maybe we can cut the waste, right? Maybe we can look and cut the waste. But no, there's Jeff Bezos. He has the money. Why isn't he giving it to us? That's the mindset of Elizabeth Warren. Let's go to John in Cheektowaga. John, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, Joe, great show. Whenever I see Elizabeth Warren on television, I think to myself, if I agreed with everything that woman said, I would kind of cringe, because I think to myself, isn't she aware of how bad she comes across? She has a bad speaking voice. She's kind of a scold. She doesn't have a great appearance, physical appearance, and she's not a likable person. And either she's not aware of it, or if she is aware of it, she thinks her message is more important than how she comes across. But she can't have anybody around her who could tell her, Senator, you're not a great spokesperson, because I'm sure she'd fire that person. And there's so many of those on the left. I mean, whenever I see Jasmine Crockett, I think to myself, there used to be a television show. I don't know if this is a good thing to bring up, because the show was on 50 years ago. But there was a show called Sanford and Son, very popular show. You might have heard of it. You can watch it on YouTube to this day. But the characters on there were pretty much caricatures of, you know, lower middle class black people. They had what they call, and even Michelle Obama has mentioned this, a lot of white people see black women as sassy black women. And they speak up for themselves. They're loud. They're annoying. And she considers that racist. But Jasmine Crockett has obviously modeled her persona on those kind of, you know, obviously everything she says is sassy. You know, it's always like, Trump don't know what he's doing. You know, Trump's a moron, you know. And it's just, it's so sad that these people, it makes you glad if you're a conservative that these are their spokespeople, because they can't be convincing anyone. Well, I wonder what you think of that.
I will say this about, I do not know the show Samford and Son, so I cannot comment on that. But I will say this about Elizabeth Warren. I can't comment on physical attraction because God knows I don't have any physical attraction. But she does, she's always talking as if you are in her classroom. And I think that is so off-putting. And then I think her message is wrong as well. But I will agree with you about Elizabeth Warren. She is not great to listen to. And again, I think it's because she's talking to you as if you're in her classroom. It's like, ma'am, I'm not in your classroom. Like, I didn't go to your college. You're not my professor. Don't talk to me like I'm an idiot. And I feel like she does that. That's how she presents her arguments. John, appreciate the call. 803-0930-930. You know, I have to say, I have not, I have not watched much or followed much of Jasmine Crockett, and I've got to do more of that because I mean she's, I'll give her this, she doesn't shy away from the media. I see her on CNN a lot, you know, and she's a representative from down there in Texas, but she has definitely arrived on the political scene, love her or hate her, right, agree with her or disagree with her. Jasmine Crockett has definitely made a name for herself and has arrived on the scene politically. I mean, she has quickly become a voice on the Democrat side, and I don't think anyone was talking about Jasmine Crockett a few years ago. So again, disagree with her or agree with her, you got to give her credit for that. I mean, she is a name in politics now. And not everyone in Congress can do that, right? I mean, there are members of Congress that you will never know existed. You'll never know they were in Congress. You'll never know that, you know, there are members of Congress, I'm trying to think of a good example, that, yeah, they're known in their district, but you go in the same state across district lines, they have no idea who the heck you're talking about, right? I think that's our way in our assembly, right? Everyone knows Pat Burke. Pat Burke's very vocal. Right. Most people know Senator April Baskin because April Baskin was, you know, the top of the legislature. Right. But does anyone outside of Amherst know who Karen McMahon is? I don't. She's never come on Hardline. If she wants to come on, that'd be great. But Karen McMahon, she's a member of the assembly. No one's talking about Karen McMahon. No offense, ma'am. Just saying. Everyone knows Pat Burke. You know, Morinello. Everyone knows Morinello. Everyone knows Ort in the Senate. That's the way in Congress, too. Like, it's impressive. Again, I'm not the biggest AOC fan. But AOC is a, if you're a political person, and I say AOC, you know who I'm talking about. That is not easy in Congress. Because there will be members of Congress that, again, their name will never, you will never hear their name spoken. There's over 400 people in Congress. To be a big player politically in Congress outside of your district, there's something to be said about that. And again, agree with them or disagree with them, you got to give them that kind of credit. And on the right, we obviously have that with Jim Jordan. I mean, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he's the Speaker of the House. That's why people know him. Marjorie Taylor Greene, right? Lauren Boebert. I mean, these are people who have made names for themselves. In D.C. and out of D.C., Byron Donalds. Everyone knows Byron Donalds. I mean, he'll talk to anyone. He'll be on CNN. He'll be on MSNBC. He'll be on Fox. He is a big player, a big political player. And again, not easy to do in Congress. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the program. You want to comment on anything we mentioned in this first segment, you are welcome to do so. When we come back, I want to talk online scams. $16.6 billion lost from online scams in America last year, most of them with people over the age of 60. So we're going to get into that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Is this Billie Eilish? Speaking of Billie Eilish, it is Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, I want to get to online scams, but I saw this story, and I should just not read it and should just go. I should listen to my, you know, I've got the devil and the angel on my shoulder. One saying, go, Joe, just go on your next topic. The other one saying, no, read this. I'm letting the devil win. And if I hear about it, I hear about it. So this is on an OutKick. And there is a situation where this 28-year-old sister, right? There are two sisters, okay? A 28-year-old sister was sending pictures of herself in bikinis to her younger sister's boyfriend. Her younger sister is 22. The boyfriend is 20. When her younger sister discovered it, she said, I can't believe you're acting so jealous. Your boyfriend, Michael, has great fashion sense. He dresses so well. This fashion sense had her occasionally reaching out to him with pictures of her outfits to get his opinion. Apparently doing this with her bikinis is a step too far, but she didn't give it a second thought. She's going on vacation, wanted his opinion. She says, quote, I sent him pictures of the bikinis and asked his opinions on how I looked. He told my sister, and my sister thought it was inappropriate, and she's accused me of hitting on him. Where is this coming from? How is she hitting on her sister's boy? How am I hitting on her boyfriend by sending pictures of myself in bikinis, asking how they look? I mean, guys. Come on. Does anyone buy this? Oh, I'm sending your boyfriend pictures of me in a your boyfriend was 8 years younger, pictures of me in a bikini because I wanted his thoughts on how I looked. Is anyone buying this? But it does make me wonder, because you know I am a big fan of late 90s, early 2000 rom-com movies. And you know, some of them kind of snuck into the late 2000s. And you see this in movies. Has anyone ever, like, dated twice in the same family? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, have you ever been with one and you fell for the other sibling? And you're able to pull that off? Like in the movie The Family Stone with the late Diane Keaton? You know, he's dating Sarah Jessica Parker, but then the sister comes, he falls in love with the sister. Now he's dating the sister and Sarah Jessica Parker's dating the brother. I don't know, like, if that was real life, if that took place in real life, I don't know. Could you go on? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are you that, both of you, that in love, knowing the mess that has been created here? Now my ex is dating my brother, and I'm dating the sister of my ex. Like, you're going to see each other at holiday gatherings. That would be really weird. I don't know. I mean, that would have to be like, I found the perfect person. No one will ever be as good as this person. You know, I just, I could not find another person that will complete me. I will never be complete if I can't be with my ex's sister. I'm not sure. I don't know. But this story was out there and I had to share it. So the sister's saying, no, you've got me all wrong. I just wanted Michael, your boyfriend's opinion on how I looked in all these different bikinis. And so I texted him all these pictures of me in bikinis. And now he's got them on his phone. Nothing weird about that. Come on. I would say, I think the young lady maybe needs to reconsider her relationship with her boyfriend and with her sister, just by reading this account. All right, it's Joe Beamer, by the way. I don't know if I said that when we came back. I had to get into that story for everyone to enjoy. And you know, you read stuff online. It's on OutKick. So I suppose it's true, but you never know what to believe online, right? And that's what I want to talk about this segment, what to believe online. Because there's a good question of that. But first, Mike in West Seneca has answered the call. Mike, you have a story to tell us.
Yeah, hey, Joe. If people really don't get this, but I dated a girl back in the mid-90s, went out for a couple of months, and she was 2 years younger than my wife, which is her sister. And I got to know them all, got to know the whole family, and she broke up with me. And 7 years later, me and my now wife ran into each other at the Erie County Fair, got together. She came over to check out the house I had purchased back in the mid-90s, and she never left. And we've been married since 2006.
Wow. Now the sister dumped you. So was that awkward at first? I mean, what was that like?
It was a little weird at first. I mean, it was seven years prior to me running back into my wife. But still, it was odd because how often do you hear about it? Except for in the movies. And this is clearly not a movie. Yeah, it was odd at first going to family get-togethers and then seeing her. But after a while, it was like, okay, no big deal. She broke up with me. It would be weird if I broke up with her. But I guess it all depends on who broke up with who.
Yeah.
In this situation.
So now everything. Now, when you were dating your wife's sister, did you ever think, seeing your wife, like, oh, you know, I mean, she seems nice, and if things don't work out, maybe I'll run into her?
Well, not immediately. I always thought she was pretty, but I never thought that I would marry any of my ex's siblings. But it just happened to go that way. Everything worked out fine. Everybody was fine. Nobody just giggled about it at first. But oh, here comes Mike. He's dating two of the Kelly girls. He dated one, and now he's married to the second Kelly girl, and there was a third. I said, well, you're next in line.
Well, Mike, going on 20 years, I think it's safe to say you picked the right one.
Oh, absolutely. I tell her that every day. I remind her that every day.
Oh, that's awesome. Mike, thank you so much. I appreciate the call. Mike in West Seneca. Worked out for him. By the way, it's also the side story in the Hallmark movie where they get stuck in the Buffalo airport. Remember the guy who ends up falling in love with Candace Cameron Bure, because that's how it always happens? He was avoiding going home because his brother had married his ex. And so he wanted to avoid him because last time they saw each other, he punched him. So that was the plot of the movie where they get stuck in the Buffalo airport. And then they rent a car to drive to New York City in a snowstorm that has grounded all the planes. Remember, they weren't supposed to fly to Buffalo. It was LAX to JFK, and then they had to divert to Buffalo, and then the storm hit them while they were on the ground in Buffalo. But that was the side story. His brother had married his ex. But Mike, now, as Mike said, the other way around, it would have been a little weird, right? Like in The Family Stone, he broke up with Sarah Jessica Parker and then chased her sister. It's a little weird. Even at the end of the movie, it's weird. I know they're all together. It's a little weird. But for Mike, well, she dumped him, right? He waited 7 years, ran into the sister, and look at this, 20 years later, still working out fine. So I think it worked out well for everyone. I'm glad Mike called in. I'm glad we got an account of something like that happening in a positive, right? A positive way. Everyone's happy in the end. But like I said, can't always believe what you read online. And that's becoming true for a lot of people who are falling victim to scammers. And last year, the FBI said that they have accounted $16.6 billion in losses from scams. That's just in 2024. Now, a lot of these scams are with people who are over the age of 60. And surprisingly, guys, a lot of these scams are people who are falling in love with the scammer online. Listen to this. This is a story from Jennifer Daly, okay? Jennifer Daly's mom is a target. Daly never thought her mother would end up in a romantic relationship with a scam artist, but looking back, she can understand how it happened. Now, this story kind of loses me here, but follow along. Her mother had likely been feeling lonely, Daly said. She doesn't get out much. Daly's parents live in rural Illinois, and her mom spends a lot of time online shopping. So this sounds like the mother is married to the father still. They live in Illinois, and she's online. When Daly's father told her that her mother made a friend through Facebook Messenger in September, Daly was suspicious. Within a couple of weeks, her mother was buying gift cards for her friend John and spending more and more time messaging with him online. Her mother eventually sent John upwards of $8,000. Pretty soon, the messages between John and Daly's mother turned romantic, Daly said. And he started to ask for larger sums of money. Daly has not been able to extract her mom from the relationship. So, this is still going on. The story before that was not a romantic story. This is from James Yancey. His 67-year-old father, finally on Halloween, said that he had fallen victim. This is how it goes. On Halloween, Yancey's dad gestured to his phone, kind of giving me the impression that he thought he was being listened to or watched. Outside, away from cell phones, the father told Yancey that his identity had been stolen and the FBI and IRS were working with him to protect his life savings. Yancey's father had liquidated his accounts, amounting up to $400,000, and transferred the cash into gift cards, Bitcoin, and gold. The scammers, fronting as federal agents, took the gift cards, Bitcoin, in advance and picked up the gold in person, telling his dad that once the identity thieves were found, they would return his money via check. Wow. Fronting as FBI and IRS agents. And this goes beyond an online scam. Yes, it started online, but they had the attire looking like federal agents picking up the gold in person. Talk about an elaborate scam. And they got $400,000 out of a 67-year-old man. His assets and everything he had liquidated into gold, Bitcoin, and gift cards. And he fell for it. And I don't, you know, you don't want to be critical of the people who fall for it, because let's be honest. There was a time where we would all fall for a text message that said, hey, if you don't pay this, we're suspending your car. Well, I would fall for it, because that's right down my alley. You don't pay this easy pass, we're taking your license away, right? We've all seen how convincing, and for a lot of people, if those text messages weren't in the news as being scams, well, then I think more people would have fallen for it, right? And, you know, you've got the bank that will call and say, hey, we have to, they tried to scam my mother once. You know, calling, saying that it was the bank. Now, my mom said, all right, I'm going to hang up and call you back just to make sure, which is what you should always do if you feel anything is off. and, you know, found out, no, they were trying to get her information and, you know, have access to funds. But this is, I mean, the rule of thumb for a lot of these online scams is if anyone online is asking for Bitcoin or gift cards, automatically just sever any kind of communication, right? Because that's how these scammers are getting money. And then you can't trace it. Can't trace the Bitcoin. Can't trace the gold that you handed to people dressed like federal agents. Can't trace the gift cards. And just how awful that must feel. I remember back when eBay was money orders, and I wanted a Mike Piazza rookie card. This was right when Mike Piazza was still playing for the Mets. I wanted a Mike Piazza rookie card, which, yes, was when he was with the Dodgers. No one has to text that in. I get it. But it was, you know, Mike Piazza's known for being a Met. No one remembers when he was on the Dodgers. And you had to go and get a money order. Now, this is like $5 money order, right? I'm in high school. And I remember how, like, nervous I was sending that money order. I have no ties to this money. If this person doesn't send me it, I mean, $5 is $5. You know, if this person doesn't send me it, that was $5. This is $400,000, and it literally just away with the click of a button. 803-0930, star 930. Two questions I have for you out there. Number one is, have you or someone you've known fallen for a scam? This is a safe place, but you can call in anonymous if you want. How much money? Well, what was the scam? Because I think the best thing to do, obviously it's not going to help you if you've been scammed. The best thing to do is to get the word out there what techniques, what tactics scammers are using, because it's changing every day. So what was the scam you fell for? How much money were you out? And then my second question, this idea of online romantic relationships. Now, I don't, hey, believe me, I have been the loneliest of the lonely, the lowest of the lows. Again, when I first was hosting here on the station, you all heard many of my stories about being lonely and single and all that stuff. So this is a no judgment zone. I don't understand, you know, hearing these stories about people who are getting scammed in fake romantic relationships online, watching catfish on MTV. I don't understand, and maybe someone can tell me, how you can fall for someone that you've never met in person, you've never talked with on the phone, you've never seen, like, on a video chat. And I'm not saying, you know, physical attraction's everything. No, I'm just talking about meeting somebody, just like being in the presence of a person. I don't think I could have any kind of romantic feelings for someone that I have not had some type of in-person conversation or talked to on the phone or something. I'm not even sure the phone. So I'm looking for someone to explain that to me. 803-0930, star 930. We'll talk about this. We'll get into greeters at Target. But I, like I said, I think the best way to prevent scams is if you've been scammed, get it out there. You know, I do, once a year I'll bring up scams because, I mean, again, they're changing their tactics. Last time we talked about scams, we were talking about the grandparent scam, right? Where you get a fake call, they pretend to be your grandchild, and you would be asked to send money so they let your grandchild go, right? And someone would be on the line pretending to be your grandchild. People have fallen for that. Now we've got people acting as agents. We've got people in romantic relationships. 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer on WBEN. Yes, hour number two, 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the show. We're talking about these scams, these online scams that continue to go on. I told you about two very different scams, very different, elaborate stories and ways that scammers are winning. I mean, can you imagine liquidating all your assets and, you know, being scammed out of $400,000? My gosh, I would feel pathetic's not the word. You know, because you don't want to make it's not the victim, right? I mean, you see a lot of these. And again, if they're not out there, if people don't know what's going on, it's easier for you to fall for it. What's the word I'm looking for? I would just feel so weak, so helpless. That's the word I'm looking for. I would feel so helpless if I went through all of that, and you know, had no way to find the $400,000 that is gone. Now, the romance one. That is one that I really am just looking for someone to explain to me how you can fall for someone to the point where you're sending them thousands and thousands of dollars. I don't care how much you talk to someone online, and I might, and I'm sorry if I offend anyone out there. I don't care how much you talk to someone online. I can't imagine feeling so close to this person that I'm willing to send them thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, and I said the same like on that catfish show on MTV when they go and they finally reveal and it's like, no, you weren't talking to that person. You were talking to, you know, me. I was just playing a joke on you. It's always like heartbreaking. Like I'll tell you this. I always feel awful for the person who, you know, I mean, they some of these people, they'll spend their entire night back and forth like it's the old AIM. Chatting on Facebook message, chatting via emails. You know, I just don't know how you would get to the point where you fall for somebody that you haven't met. I mean, again, Meg Ryan did fall for Tom Hanks and You've Got Mail. And, you know, and guess what? Didn't turn out to be who she thought. It's Joe Fox, F-O-X. I mean, they end up falling in love because it's a 90s rom-com. But still, I just don't get that. Like, I want to, if I'm going to have those kind of feelings, well, number one, if a scammer comes after me, joke's on them. But number two, I would have to, like, you know, have some type of conversation, some type of connection. I don't feel I could have that connection over online. Now, someone told me about the consignment box scam. Has anyone heard this? I got a couple texts during the break about people who know people who have been victims of consignment box scams. So I looked it up, and this is what I found on the consignment box scam. It's a type of advance fee fraud, often linked to romance scams, where a scammer convinces a victim to pay various fees to receive a non-existent package containing valuable items like money or gold. The victim never receives anything because there is no package to begin with. So how the scam works is you build trust. The scammer often uses a fake identity. And this is kind of like what David was talking about, where you would get an email from someone posing as a soldier deployed, saying, can you help me out? You know, if you give me, I'll pay you back. And then you send the money, but it's just a scammer. And sometimes the scammers use real names, real identities. So, I mean, now you've hurt two people. You've taken money from one, and you've hurt the reputation of an American hero, of someone who's served this country. So these can be, I mean, they can be very advanced. You know, we talk about the simple ones, your Easy Pass, or, you know, ones that are usually in text form or email form. But when it's you're actually talking with somebody and it's a back and forth, I mean, again, it's not difficult to imagine how you could be convinced, how you could fall for that. And my heart breaks for these people. And my heart breaks for this Jennifer Daly, who's talking about her mother, and her mother does not believe this. Believe her daughter. The mother thinks that she is talking to this John, and she continues to send him money in the form of gift cards and Bitcoin. And it's heartbreaking. You know, I mean, you're playing with people's emotions. And, you know, there's a to a point, I got a problem with that. As much as I don't understand how you can fall for someone by just talking to them online, that doesn't mean I think you should be getting scammed. And, you know, these scammers are taking advantage of people who are in a vulnerable situation. They're lonely, they're bored, And it really sucks. And hopefully the FBI can get more protections on this. Again, $16.6 billion last year, and that number expected to go up for 2025. All right, Target, you heard David talking about this a little earlier. Target has a new initiative when it comes to how to deal with customers. And this is from the New York Post, and I love the New York Post, you know that. Target mandates employees smile and make small talk in bid to lift holiday sales. Now, Target doesn't need to do any small talk with me to lift any kind of sales, believe me. The Beamer family is at the transit Target on a regular basis. I'll actually be going there after work because my son wants goldfish. The ones you eat. This is a completely different conversation. I would love a fish tank. We had a fish tank in Orchard Park, and we no longer have a fish tank. My wife won't let me, because my wife knows I'll get the fish tank, and then I won't clean it every week like I promise her I will. But I love having just like two little fishies in a bowl or in a small tank that has the water running and everything. I love that. I love fish tanks. I got to say this, and then we'll get to the Target story, I promise. So, you know, I told you on Monday that we had to put our dog down, our precious Tucker, and it's you know, still, my son's asking, what's Tucker doing? You know, we have to say, you know, he's not here. And it's sad. Now, my wife and I also probably should move his dishes that are still sitting in the kitchen. We probably should get rid of those because it reminds, you know, it's a reminder. It's heartbreaking. If you listen to this show, you know I'm not the biggest cat fan. I grew up with cats. I don't like cats. Yesterday, I was at Pet Supplies Plus on Sheridan, and I was walking by the cat adoptions. Now, again, usually I'm like, no cats. You know. And this one cat, you know, is coming up to the cage, and it's putting his little paw out, and it's just giving me this look, and I'm like, yeah, I want to take this cat home. I didn't. Because my wife's allergic. But it's like the loss of my dog made me think about actually adopting a cat and bringing it home. Because it looked so cute and it was climbing on the thing and it started meowing. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. But I don't want to have to clean a litter box. I do want another dog. Now, my wife says that she wants to wait a few years. All right. I mean, hey, I'm not gonna push her, but I'll tell you, man, it's a big void. You know, I mean, the dog was always running around, right? I mean, his later years, he was more on the couch, just laying there. But man, I mean, it's a presence that you notice is missing. And like I said, even me, someone who's not the biggest cat fan, I saw a cat yesterday. I was like, I would definitely adopt a cat. But I didn't. I just thought that was an interesting story. So Target wants to boost their sales, and they want people to make small talk and smile. Target wants its employees to spread some holiday cheer, whether they like it or not. According to a report, the Minneapolis-based retailer issued a new directive mandating in-store workers smile and make eye contact and either greet or wave to any shopper that comes within 10 feet, according to Bloomberg Business. If a customer steps within 4 feet, then the service rep is instructed to ask whether they need help or how their day is going, the new guidance said. Major retailers like Walmart and Disney have long used similar customer greeting rules. Okay. They call it the 10-4 program. And we're going to talk about that 10-4 program after we talk with our friend John out in Holland. John, how you doing, buddy?
Well, I got to make sure I smile and greet you, apparently, and make small talk. So I could be doing better for my minimum wage job. Joe, my condolences on the puppers.
Oh, thank you.
We went through this, I don't know, 2 weeks before Christmas in 2023. And our pup, we had to have him put down. He was only 7 years old. It was not Lyme's disease, but a different tick-borne illness, and it just went undetected, and he was perfectly fine one day, and within a week, we had to say goodbye.
Oh,
So sorry.
We were talking about, and this dog, I mean, he was by our side for everything. He was our daughter's introduction to dogs. He would lay next to her crib when she was on the floor. He was licking her head. I mean, best friends to this little, at the time, she was 7 months old when he when we had to say goodbye to him. And we didn't know what to do. So we're like, well, what's appropriate? How long do you leave the dishes out? We had a water and a food dish out for like 2 weeks. And I'm not kidding you. I don't know if this was just coincidental or if it was being told by a power that I don't understand. I had 9:30 on, and I'm just driving around doing my regular routine. And, you know, the morning, you know, Brian and Susan are talking about adopting a pet. And I'm like, oh, that's sweet. And like, you know, it hits me in the feels. And I go about my day. I'm doing the running around, get back into my car. And all of a sudden I'm like, what are they talking about? Dogs and rescuing it again. Who rescues who? And then I realized it was the whole day adopt-a-thon that you guys do around that time of year. And I come home and I go to tell my wife, I'm like, this is crazy because it's been on the radio all day. And she's sitting and looking at dogs on Pet Finder. And I go, well, I guess it's time. And our downtime from one dog to another, it was about 2 weeks. We said hello to our boy that we've got now for a little over a year and a half. Oh, it'll be coming up on 2 years. We got him just about a week before Christmas in 2023. I don't believe in the you've got to wait months and months and months. A dog makes a family whole.
It really does. It really does. And, you know, John, my parents didn't get a dog until I was 8. You know what I mean? It's like, I loved that dog. We had that dog till I started working here. And I don't want to wait till my son's 8 to get another dog. I would get one right now, and that's no offense to Tucker. I would love, you know, Kirk Herbstreit. His dog died 1 week. The next week, the new dog's at the game. I mean, he waited like 2 hours.
Well, and you know, and I think that there's something to be said about that, right? Like, we mourn them like they're part of our family because they are. But, you know, at the end of the day, dog people are dog people. Pet people are pet people.
Yep.
You can't go for too long without having that around. And I grew up with cats, too. And I got to tell you, as an adult, I'm like, I don't like them. But every now and then, yeah, I see the one and I'm like, I kind of want to bring that home.
Yeah. Yeah. We had three cats growing, not all at the same time. We had two of them at the same time, but three cats all together. No, four. Oh, my gosh. I forgot about Lucky. We had four cats growing up, not all together. And yeah, I mean, you know, some of them were better than others, but yeah, I'm a dog guy. I want when I come home, I want to be greeted by the dog. I like the dog to get right up on me when I'm watching a game or something. Like I love it. I'm 100% a dog guy.
And with the snow, it's even better with a toddler, as we're really experiencing now that our daughter is 2.5, so about the same age as your boy.
Yeah.
Like, we're outside yesterday, romping around in the snow, and these dogs are having a blast. She's making little snowballs and throwing it for them. You don't get that with a cat, first off. But secondly, how do you replace those memories? I mean, a kid having a dog at a young age, it's just a bond that you can never explain to anybody else. Like, it's undeniable what they do in our lives. And you're right. Come home, you could have been gone for 30 seconds or 30 years. Well, maybe not 30 years. You'd last, you know, outlast the dog. But the dog's going to greet you like they've never seen you before.
Yep.
They just need you there. It's amazing.
It's great. It's great. I can't believe I'm saying this. I miss walking the dog at night. Like, I miss the walk around the neighborhood at night with the dog before going to bed. It's just every little thing I'm noticing, like a whole routine of the day is just not there. And
yes.
You realize you kind of like that routine you got used to. There were things you actually liked about it.
You know what really got me, and it was just a seasonal cleaning of the vehicle. And I'm cleaning out my truck a couple of months after, you know, we had rescued this new dog that we've got, and we now have two dogs again. But I was cleaning my truck out, and wouldn't you know it, I found one of his collars tucked away underneath the back seat. And, of course, it makes me break down. You know, I'm an adult in my driveway, and I'm like sobbing like a little child who, you know, skinned their knee because I just found something. I'm like, oh, right. Yep. There's Hank's collar that I haven't seen in the last, you know, year. And here it is just to remind me I'm still around.
Oh, yeah. My wife, the day after we had to put Tucker down, you know, got in her car and looked over and saw, like, you know, his snot on her window of her car. And she said, you know, she took a picture and, you know, that you could tell that hit her, you know, after because he's gone now. But, you know, you can still have those memories right there. You got to wash the window.
Yeah, I mean, how long do you wait until you wash that window is the real question.
Yeah, well, if it's me, it'll be the first time I've cleaned the car since I bought it. No, I'm just kidding. Well, John, I thank you, and I hope my wife is listening, because I agree with you, and that's kind of the route that I would like to take, but we'll have to wait and see.
Tis the season, my friend. I hope that there's a new Puppers in your future.
Well, thank you, John. Always great talking with you. John in Holland, 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, I want to know from you, do you want to be greeted when you walk in anywhere? So Target wants, you know, hey, a wave, or hey, welcome to Target. I don't want any of that. Do you know what I want? This is what I want. When I go to Target, when I go to Walmart, when I go to TJ Maxx, well, maybe not TJ Maxx. When I go to a big box store, I want you to be available if I need something. If it's locked up, and I know that a lot of the lockup has nothing to do with Target, it has to do with the laws in this state that make, you know, make people feel freer to take product. But you know what? If I need a Ring doorbell, I would like someone there in under 10 minutes. I more want that than the greeting at the door, because I've talked to you guys about this before. I don't like the greeting when I walk into the gym. Like, no offense, I don't need a, hey, have a great workout. I don't need a, oh, have a great day. Hey, it's good. I'll go, hey, what's up? I don't need a greeting. And when I'm at Target, I go to Target a lot. We're at Target probably 4 times a week, okay? I know where most things are. But yeah, I'd like you to be there. I'd like to be able to ask you if I need something. I don't need you, the employee, to initiate it. And I know I'm going to hear this because I worked retail, and my mom said this on my Facebook post. If they said nothing, I'd complain. No, I wouldn't. And it also goes for different stores, right? Target, I want to walk, get my stuff, and get out, right? A smaller store, like a place where you sell jewelry. Yeah, when I walk in there, I'm going to need some help. I can't pick things off of the wall. You know, I was at GNC earlier doing a delivery for DoorDash. And I walked in. Now, that's a small store. I'm the only customer there. Yeah, that's nice when the one person there, you know, walked me and got all the stuff for me. That's great. But I expect different at a store like GNC than I do a store like Target, where I'm going to either get underwear or I'm going to get, you know, stuff to make dinner. Yes, you can do that at the same store. So I think this initiative is missing the mark. I want to know what you think. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Joe Beamer on Hump Day, Wednesday, News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930, star 930. That is the number to get on the show, get on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Tell me what's up. Anything that we've discussed, we started the show talking about Elizabeth Warren and telling billionaires that they didn't earn that money on their own and, you know, they should have to pay their fair share. Then saying that I'm not asking for a lot. No, you're asking for more than half of what they make. We talked about that. We talked about online scammers falling in love online. We also did have a small part of the show where we talked about dating your ex's sibling. And we had a caller on that with a great story. Ended up great for everybody. If you have a call on that, of course. And this thing going on at Target. And you know, for me, this to me screams one thing. And I think you can realize, I think we've all worked at that job, right? When I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond, you know, they, oh, you greet the customers, walk up to the customers. And, you know, here's the thing. You see my name tag, you know I work here. I assume, and maybe I'm wrong, but I assume if you need something, you're going to come to me and tell me, and then I will gladly take you to the toaster or the Yankee candle that you were looking for, right? That's how I shop. And that's what I'm seeing on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. For me, the people with this initiative sound like people who don't shop at Target. I mean, it sounds like the people who are running Target don't shop at Target. I think most people want to be left alone until they need something. If you're going to a store like that, right? Now, when you walk into Best Buy, and this has been the case since I can remember, when you walk into Best Buy, they always ask you, what can I help you with today? I mean, there's a guy or a lady right there at the entrance prepared to point you in the right direction of the store. And you know what? That's very helpful because Best Buy looks nothing like Best Buy did 10 years ago. Different type of store, though. I'm not walking into Best Buy every day. I'm not going to Best Buy to get everyday things. I'm going to Best Buy if I want a TV, if I need a phone, a computer, a washer, a dryer, a stove, an appliance, an e-bike. You get what I'm saying? Again, a store like Target, I understand. There will be people going to Target this holiday season who don't regularly go to Target, right? Because if something's on someone's list and they can get it at Target. I understand that. Shout out Target, by the way. They also sell these AM/FM radios. Like, they look like a decoration, but they're an AM/FM radio with Bluetooth, and it's awesome. I applaud anything that's AM/FM radio. You know, if you can listen to us through something that's a decoration in your living room, that's amazing. But regardless of why you're, I mean, Target is the kind of store where you're walking in. Like, you don't expect when you walk into Wegmans, someone to say, welcome to Wegmans, what can I help you find? Most likely you're going into Wegmans to get a couple of things, right? I think Target's at that level. There are everyday Target shoppers. So I don't think you need the entrance. Target does not need to be treated like Best Buy. Doesn't need to be treated like some specialty stores in the mall. When I walk into American Eagle, yeah, I expect it to be greeted. I'm there to look for some pants, some jeans, a shirt. I want to look like I'm posing in a 2004 magazine. That's why I'm at American Eagle. Different than Target. And again, the people running the store should know that. I have nothing against being friendly. Everyone should be friendly. But I think it's the wrong message. If your message is ask everybody how they're doing and what they're looking for. Most people don't want to be bothered. And that's a reality of 2025. I realize 1960, 1970, it might have been different. But now people are more in like, I just want to go get it. I'm not going to get mad if someone asks me how I'm doing. Okay? Please don't take that the wrong way. What I'm saying is, I'd rather you be available when I need something out of a locked case than having someone ask me as I'm walking through the rain and whatever the hell was coming out of the sky this morning, hey, how you doing? How do you think I'm doing? 803-0930, star 930. That's my complaint. My complaint at Target, Walmart, any of these stores is I can't seem to find somebody when I need to get something out of a locked case. Right? That, to me, is more important than the greeting. Remember when we were at the fair and we were talking, and I was talking to you guys about I needed a thing to plug my phone in because I brought the charging cord, I didn't bring the box, and we were going to the fair. And I sat there pressing that button for like 15, 20 minutes. So I'd rather that problem, that's Walmart, that's not Target, so that's not fair to be compared here. But I want that to be addressed more than someone talking to me as I'm walking through the door. Usually walking through the door with my son screaming something at me as well, right? So I think too many of these messages, too many of these initiatives are being put out there by people who don't shop at the store they run. Right? To me, that's what I'm getting from this. 803-0930, star 930. Someone on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board said, when I'm shopping, I don't want to be bothered by anybody in the store. I just want to find what I'm looking for, buy it. If I need help finding something, then and only then do I want someone to talk to. I don't need somebody to ask a preemptive question. Do you need help finding something? Texter is 100% right. Another one. The worst is Home Depot. Not a single person in the store knows anything about trades, contracts, instruction, or really anything related to products sold at Home Depot. Please just let me shop for what I need and don't ask me what project I'm working on. Another text. With Target expecting employees to smile and talk to customers, they must have recognized that hasn't been happening at their stores. And the fact is pretty sad to know how their employees have acted. Right. No one should have to tell you, hey, you work in retail, be friendly. Right? Because I can look at this the other way, too. All right, I just spent 10 minutes telling you why I don't want a greeting. Let's look at the other way. You work in retail. So, yeah, you need a bit of a personality to work in retail. You need to be friendly. And you do need to be able to talk with people. That should be like A, B, and C on the outline of what you need to work at retail. Like, friendly is number one. Saying how you're doing to everyone walking through the door, that to me, that doesn't mean friendly. Friendly means I walk up and say, hey, can I have help with this? And either you or you call someone on that on the little thing connected to your ear, get me someone in less than 5 minutes. Like, to me, that's fine. Don't look like you're annoyed that I came up and asked a question. That's what I mean by friendly. But yeah, you do need to have a personality to work in retail. You need to deal with people to work in retail. Some stores, I think they just take anyone who applies. But yeah, you do need a bit of a personality. When I worked in retail, let me tell you, I worked with some of the best. You know, hope they're all doing fine. But I would say 90% of the people I worked with all had a personality, could deal with people. I never saw them on the floor get mad about having to deal with a customer. That's all. That's all we're asking. Neil in Forestville, what do you think?
Oh, my God, Joe. Can you just put another person on the register so I could get the heck out of here?
That seems to be a bigger complaint than anything else.
Right. I won't use those automated tellers. Yeah, that is such a big...
Well, and at Target, Neil, they close the automated tellers at like 8. So you close the self-checkout at 8, but you don't add anyone at the registers for the last 2 hours the store's open.
Honestly, Joe, I try to avoid Target. I try to avoid Walmart. I mean, if I have to go there for something, I will. But I try to shop locally or mostly at Aldi's.
But there's stuff at Target and Walmart that you might not be able to get at Aldi.
Yes, but I can find ways around it. You go to BJ's or even Tops if I have to.
So, Neil, here's an intrusive question. If you're not going to Target or Walmart, where are you getting your underwear?
Where am I getting my underwear? From Christmas and Mom.
I'll tell you, Target has cheap underwear. So it's become my place for a 3-pack of underwear for $10. You can't beat that anywhere else.
Have you been to TJ Maxx?
Yeah, but TJ Maxx, I have to go on an expedition.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
I love TJ Maxx, but I have to. I've got to put 30 minutes aside because I've got to start moving things around to find what I'm looking for.
Oh my gosh, Joe. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I'm not the only one who goes there and experiences that.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, you should. You see a lot of people just frolicking around TJ Maxx, and there's some deals in their little special discount area.
Oh, hey, I'll tell you, if you've got the time to look through TJ Maxx, Marshalls, all those stores. When I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond in Cheektowaga, I would go to that Marshalls on a regular basis that was in that plaza on my lunch break. Yes, I think it's worth it if you've got the time, but you're literally hunting for a deal.
Yeah, I find all my eights there. They're like underwear for skiing.
Okay.
Yeah, they work great.
Yeah.
They wick the moisture away from the body, and you stay nice and dry.
There you go. See? You got it all figured out. I'll tell you, you know, Target, there's things about Target that bothers me, but Neil, I can't quit Target. It's just, it's become my routine now.
Well, we all have our vices.
We sure do, Neil. Appreciate the call, Neil in Forestville. 803-0930, *930. That's the thing. So I know I upset a lot of people when I say I'll use the self-checkout all the time. But the thing about Target is they close those self-checkouts at like 7:30, 8 o'clock. And now you have to go to a register, and they haven't added anyone. They have as many registers open at 8 with the self-checkout closed as they did at 7 with the self-checkout open. Again, these are things I think are going to put people in a better mood more than asking how your day is. Like, those are the things that are going to put people in a good mood, is getting out of the store reasonably quick, right? Again, having someone to unlock the cases. I'm not blaming Target for having to lock product up. Because if you walk out of the store with, you know, a Ring doorbell, they can't, no one's going to run after you. And then if they find you, they'll just write you up and put you back out on the street. I'm not blaming Target. I'm saying if I just didn't have to wait 15 minutes for the Ring doorbell or 15 minutes for my Apple ear pods, again, I think that's going to put people in a better mood. I do think a good number of people, and hey, I love to talk. I don't know if you've picked up on this. I love to talk. But when I walk into a store, unless I run into someone, I want to get out of there as quick as I can, right? I want to get out of there as quick as possible. 803-0930, *930, gets you on the show. Someone said, so there's also, when you're at the store, the rounding up at the register, and you're going to see this now more at the holidays. And another reason, by the way, to go to the self-checkout, because no one's going to shame you. No one's going to shame you into rounding up or, hey, do you want to scan the $1, $3, or $5 thing? Because, again, me, I go to the store like 4 times a week. We don't do a weekly shop. We go and we pick things up as we need it, okay? And, yeah, the holiday times, I do think of the less fortunate, and I want to help out as much as I can. And, yeah, I'll scan one of those things once a week. But today, I was in Target this morning for something, right? It's, Tanner, what I'm holding in my hand right now. I was in Target. I got to go back on my way home to get my son some goldfish and something for dinner, okay? If I rounded up, or if I put the $3 on this morning, no offense, I'm not going to do that again. That was my donation for the week. You get what I'm saying? And when you go through the self-checkout, you don't have to worry about that. But my gosh, I mean, just get ready for it. Do you want to round up for this? Do you want to add on for that? Do you want to put a backpack on your order for this? No, that's all fine. And again, not to be harsh, I do my fair share. I'm just saying, I've already been in this line this week. I'm sorry that I'm not giving again. And now everyone in the line has to hear how heartless Joe Beamer is at the register. Speaking of someone who's not heartless, the next host here on WBEN, Tom Bowerly. Tom, welcome back.
No, kind of like a guest. Hey, thank you, Joe. It was not exactly a long vacation, if you want to call it that. But so you're doing obviously you're talking about the Target thing a little
bit
here.
Yes,
Yeah. You know, the good thing is we never receive any, stupid orders from corporate or anybody that might, sign paychecks or anything. We are in 100% lockstep with each and every directive that comes down. Did I say that properly?
That's exactly right. And nothing to debate, Tom. It's...
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised they haven't made COs smile when somebody's within 10 feet of them in New York State. I'm just, putting it out there. Maybe I shouldn't put it out there because maybe it actually could happen.
Yeah, the smile, the wave, again, if you're just available when I need something, that's going to put me in a good mood. I don't need extra talking. Not that I don't like to talk. I love to talk.
No.
I don't need to hear you ask me how I'm doing, and then when Tanner walks in behind me, asks the same question. That's you're wasting your breath. I want you available when I'm in the underwear section, and the underwear are no longer there because you're doing a store remodel for the third time this year.
Yeah, I understand that, and we may continue that a little bit after 3. And there are some other things too. The the rideshare thing coming to the Chippewa area in Buffalo. Now, look, I'm going to presume that most of our audience is not going down to Chippewa and woohoo partying and slashing beer all over the place. But it dawned on me that I love ride sharing. I love the ride sharing services that are available because they're just faster than taxis and everything else. But a lot of people, in fact, I've had some pretty awful experiences using the major ride share companies. I'd love to hear people's stories about horrible ride share experiences that they've had and whether or not people use or don't use ride sharing. That's one of the things, one of many things into which I would like to dive today. Very hard hitting, by the way. And the other thing is, have you seen, I don't think you have, but Nuremberg, Russell Crowe?
I have not.
Well, that movie's playing at a whole bunch of theaters in Western New York. Had a chance to see it yesterday, and it was really, really good. However, did you know how much Russell Crowe weighed when he was playing Hermann Göring?
No.
278 pounds. Damn. Russell Crowe is 6 feet tall, 278 pounds. And you might imagine he was not wearing a fat suit during filming. No, he really wasn't.
So he put that on for the film.
Yeah. Previously, he said that he eats cheeseburgers for breakfast when he wants to gain weight.
I'm so impressed how, Sydney Sweeney just put all that muscle on to do that boxing movie. How these, these actors and actresses can change their bodies to be in the role.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing, but we might talk a little bit about that, and it was really wild. Coming out of the movie, I had a chance to run into a Holocaust survivor, and the one thing that I thought was interesting demographically is there were maybe about 20, 30 people in the movie, and we were the youngest people at the movie, by far, and we're not young.
But it made you feel young.
No, it did not. What it made me feel like is, I guess I'm here with all the other old people, huh?
Hey, Tom, you're talking about ride sharing. We were in Atlanta at the beginning of the college football season, and they had Waymos in Atlanta. I still don't know if I'm ready to get in a Waymo. I think I want a driver. I'm not ready for the car to drive me by itself yet.
No, that's too freaky for me.
Yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
Positively. What's next? Jet airliners?
Yeah, I saw one pull up, and I was like, yeah, we're not getting the Waymo. It's impressive. I don't want to be the experiment. I'm good.
I think that's a wise decision, Joe, for yourself and your family, and frankly, for the company's life insurance policy.
Well, I think it's a wise decision if people stay tuned in. Tom Bowerly is up next after the news with Tom Puckett. I'll talk with you tomorrow at 1 on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.